Okay, so again, we're up to Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Nechemiah is speaking, Gam miyoy masher tziva oisi liyos pecham be'eretz Yehuda. Also, from the day that I was commanded by Daryovish to be a pecham. Pecham means a governor. The word pecham is a very powerful term. It doesn't just mean a figurehead, a community leader. It means a person with sweeping authority, has enormous power to do what he sees fit. And he was appointed by Daryovish to be a pecham, the Eretz Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael. This occurred when, which year is Mishnas Eshem V'yachnas Shleshem Ushtayim, from the 20th year to the 32nd year, Li Artach Shast HaMelech, Shanim Shteim Esrei, 12 years, Ani V'achai, I and my brethren, Lechem HaPecho, Loyachalti, did not take advantage of my official status to eat the bread, the allowance of the pecho loyachal. There are many things going on in this pasuk. First, we have to understand the connection from pasuk yudalit to pasuk yud gimel in the previous pasuk, and because of the word gam. The gam is a very difficult word. What does gam do here? In general, what is this pasuk? What does Nechemiah coming to do here? So, as we will see from here to the end of the parak, Nechemiah is coming to take note of his good deeds, to take note that he did not abuse his power. He was kind to the people. He did not exercise his right to collect, to demand taxes, as was his right. And therefore, many commentators see that the word gam is coming to explain why he was successful in convincing the Hamonam, the Bnei Yisrael, to relinquish their power to collect taxes from their own brethren, to collect loans and repossess property from their own brethren. In other words, what is Nechemiah saying? Why was it that I was successful in convincing everyone to convince them to take a neder and a shavua and an olah? It's because I lightened the load of the taxes. If I would have behaved like the previous governors and demanded high taxes, the people would have been overwhelmed in debt or in expenses. They would say to me, sorry, we have to pay half of our income goes to pay tax, and we have to support our families, so what do we have left for ourselves? Nothing. Therefore, we're sorry, Nechemiah, we can't help you. These poor people owe us money. They promised if they don't pay up their debts, we have the right to repossess their property, and therefore we're going to exercise our rights, and we're going to repossess their property, we're going to take their children as slaves, and we're going to do what we see fit. We're not going to listen to you, because you are part of the problem, because the taxes are just overwhelming. But now that the Nechemiah says, okay, do not worry, I will do my part, I will go easy on the taxes, you're not going to have to pay enormous taxes, I'm not going to burden you, as we're going to see in the following psukim. That is why he was able to convince the people to, if I'll be good to you, you'll also be good to your fellow brethren. You'll go easy on them. You're not going to enslave them. You're not going to foreclose on their property. So that's the connection. That's what gam. Gam means also. Gam is it literally means also, but in this context, it means this is why I was successful. Now here we find here a little bit of repetition. He tells us that when was he appointed as pecham? In the 20th year of Artachshast until the 32nd year. Who is Artachshast? So this goes back to the beginning of Sefer Nechemiah, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns Artachshast refers to Daryovish. In the 20th year of Daryovish, Daryovish in his second year allowed Bnei Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We assume that Daryovish was the son of Esther Hamalka. He was the son of Achashverosh. That is what is assumed. Even if he was not the son, that means he was a son from another wife, but he was raised by Esther. He was under the influence, that's for certain. He was under the influence of Esther Hamalka, and this person, Daryovish, was also known as Artachshast. In his second year, he allowed the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It took them about 4 years and 3 months to build the Beis HaMikdash, which took him until about the sixth year. In the middle of his sixth year, they built the Beis HaMikdash, and then Ezra came, and shortly thereafter, Baruch ben Neriah died. Ezra came up to Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra realized there was a great problem, assimilation problem, it was a great intermarriage problem. He solved that problem. So that took us approximately to the 8th, 9th year, I don't remember the exact dates, and now we jump ahead 10 years later, when we have here Nehemiah, he comes up to Eretz Yisrael, he was serving originally as the butler, as the Sar HaMashkim, by Daryavish. He gets word that there is things are not doing too well in Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is long after the story of Achashverosh. This Daryavish, this is the son of Achashverosh, this is after the Purim story, but now about 10 years after Ezra, Nehemiah comes to Eretz Yisrael. He comes there, he leaves his comfortable life of serving as the Sar Mashkim, his influence in the government in Shushan HaBira. He comes to Eretz Yisrael with documents and papers allowing him access to the king's assets and to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. He takes with him a group of people. So here we are, about 10 years after the end of Ezra, we now have Nehemiah. Nehemiah arrives to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, and he's also serving as the Pecha. He is a very powerful, influential leader. Period. That's according to the opinion of Rashi. According to the opinion of Tosfos, when it says here that it was the 20th year, now I'll take a step back, how long was he Pecha? For 12 years, from the 20th year to the 32nd year. According to Tosfos, when did this occur? This occurred much early. This occurred the same exact time, pretty much as Nehemiah, or maybe even a little bit earlier, the same time as Nehemiah. I don't have all the dates synchronized, but our Tachshas refers to Koresh. It was Koresh only king for 3 years. And then we have Achashverosh was king, if I'm not mistaken, how many years Achashverosh? For 12 years? 11, 12 years. So that would take us, that means we go now, that's 15 years from the beginning of Koresh. Achashverosh dies. 3 years of Koresh. Let's assume 12 years for Achashverosh. So now we're 15 years since the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh approximately. And now comes Daryavish. In Daryavish's second year, Daryavish allows them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It takes 4 years, which takes them about 6 years. And here it says that it's in the 20th year of of Koresh, which basically means it's a base at the same time when they finished building the Beis HaMikdash. Approximately at the same time, it could very well be right before Ezra arrived. Right before Ezra arrived, or at approximately the same time that Ezra arrived, Ezra did his thing, Nehemiah did his thing, Ezra separated, he took care of the intermarriage problem, and approximately at that same time period, in that range of years, is where Nehemiah arrives, and immediately after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no 10-year delay between the conclusion of the Beis HaMikdash and the building of the walls. Right away, it was that same period of time, after they finished building the Beis HaMikdash, Nehemiah arrives, and he begins to work on constructing the walls, and everything that we're going to see in the later program happens at that time. So it's a very fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos when it says here that he was the king, he was the governor, the pecha for 12 years during from the 20th to the 32nd year of Artachshast. Does that mean from Daryavish, which pushed everything ahead a good 10 years, or does it mean Artachshast is a reference to Koresh, which pushes everything back and brings this whole story, all of these events, exactly at the time of the conclusion of the Beis HaMikdash, and at the same period of time when Ezra arrives to separate the Jewish, the intermarriage, to solve the intermarriage problem. Okay, so that's now. Other very curious thing is, why does the Pasuk have to tell us that it was 12 years? We can count. It says here that he was king from Mishnas Eshem Yachnas Shleshim Mishtayim. So anyone knows, a little math can figure out from the year 20 until 32 is 12 years. So why then does it say over here, Shonim Shteim Esrei? I mean, we can count. So some of the Farshim want to explain that it was consecutive years. It was, he did not leave. Don't be under the impression, as very common governors and world leaders, that they're the governor, but they're not on site. They're on vacation. I'm the governor, I'm the official representative, but I have other things to take care of. I have business overseas, I have other diplomatic meetings, I have to go back to the government, go back to Persia and talk to Daryavesh. No, he was there, Shanim Shtein Esrei. The repetition comes to indicate that he was present for 12 years. He was the Pecha, and he was faithful to his job. He was there in Yehuda for 12 years, serving as the governor and taking care of the needs of the people as the representative of the Persian government. Ani v'achai, who is I, my brethren? So it simply refers to the Kohanim. Nehemiah was not a Kohen, but Nehemiah was very influential among the Kohanim, as we'll see later on in the Sefer. And especially assume that if you learn like Tosfos, that this took place during the time of Ezra. So Ezra was the Kohen HaGadol. He was not acting as Kohen Gadol, but he was respected as as if he was the Kohen Gadol, and he was present at that time. And he the lechem hapecho lechalti, he did not take advantage of his rights at the time of this time. There was the responsibility of the people to provide the governor with a very lavish lifestyle, as we will see later on when he goes on to say, to give everyone had to pay a certain amount of money. It was a very high tax in order to provide for the governor to live in a beautiful palace and entertain guests, entertain other visiting diplomats from other countries, and to live a good life. And Nehemiah says, I did not behave in such a fashion. So let's see Rashi Pasuk Yudalid. Asher Tziva Oisi, who commanded me? Hashem commanded me. Was he a Navi? Is Nehemiah a prophet that he was commanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is no. It refers to the Melech. That's a very important point that we're going to discuss a little bit later on, is that Nehemiah was not a Navi. Again, it's very important to contrast over and over the difference between Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra, according to many, was a Navi. Well, he was Malachi. We have Zechariah, we have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Malachi, we have a whole Sefer, the Sefer Treyos, Malachi, his prophecy. But Ezra also appears, he gets a double portion, he gets a portion in Sefer Nevi'im, in the Sefer Nevi'im, and then he reappears in the Sefer Ksuv under the name Ezra. Different names. There's a name Ezra, and there's a name of Malachi. So why do we have to have two Svarim? So it appears that he served different roles. There are certain roles he served as a prophet, and that a prophet is a direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that message was concluded in the Sefer Nevi'im and Sefer Ezra. And Sefer Nevi'im is in Sefer Malachi. But this very same individual also had other points in his life where he was not in direct communication with, you know, he didn't have the red phone. A little joke with the red phone. You go to shul and there's a red phone. I told you this joke. There's a red phone, a Hatzala phone. When they installed the red phone, so not everyone understood. So one said, what's this red phone? I said, just in case the cantor is having a hard time, he feels that it's not, his prayer is not being accepted, we have a direct line, just in case of an emergency. But so that was the prophet of a Navi. But Ezra also served the prophet of not a Navi. What does it mean to be not a Navi? It means to have Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, what's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah? I don't know. But it means a very high degree of Siyata Dishmaya. He has a certain understanding. He is imbued with a degree of understanding of Hashem's will, and he's able to influence the masses, the tzibur, to follow in Hashem's ways without coming on to prophecy. That is why everything that he writes in Sefer Ezra is Bederech Ruach HaKodesh. Nehemiah, according to all accounts, was not a Navi. Nehemiah, at best, had Ruach HaKodesh. So when we compare these two Ishei HaTanach, living at the same point in time, according to Tosfos, they really overlapped. According to Rashi, they didn't really overlap. According to Rashi, it would appear that Nehemiah came much later. Ezra was already retired. He already was out of public view. He already was much older. But according to Tosfos, it has to be they overlapped. Their lives overlapped in a very significant way when they came to Eretz Yisrael. And that would mean, so each one had a different role. Ezra was more viewed as the prophet, whereas Nehemiah was viewed as the lay leader. He was He was our representative in government. He wasn't wearing the robes of prophecy. He was just a very a community leader, someone that represented the community as a politician, but a very good politician who followed the Derech HaTorah. And that's the Musar Haskel for us in all generations. You always have to have both. You have to have leaders that are steeped in Torah, just Reshei V'Rubai Rashi Yeshiva, and then it's essential that there be people who represent Klal Yisrael, not in the role of Talmidei Chachamim, but in the role of community leaders, politicians, people that are in government. And that's really what the difference between Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra was a religious figure. Nehemiah was a political figure. Go to Eretz Yisrael, you talk about the government. So you have a prime minister. So prime, and then you have the rabbanut. You have the chief rabbi, and you know we all want that the chief rabbi is always meant to be a very holy person. That's Rosh Hashanah in Torah. And then there's a prime minister, which, I mean, obviously we all wish that he would be Shomer Shabbos, but that's not his. That's not his thing to be to give shiurim the silver of chayims on the Daf Yomi. Like the Gemara says, if you have a mayor, make sure the mayor is not a Talmud Chacham, because if the mayor is a Talmud Chacham, he'll be too busy giving a Daf Yomi shiur than taking care of the needs of the community. That's the chilik between Nehemiah and Ezra. And that's what we're learning over here. So here, who commanded me? Hamelech. That's what makes a very important point, that unlike Ezra, which really had nothing to do with the government, Ezra was a private person. He was a student. He was, no one even knew who he was. He sat and he learned the whole day by Baruch Ben Eriya. He sat and learned. All of a sudden, after Baruch Ben Eriya came, he comes up to Eretz Yisrael. They recognized him for his greatness in Torah and Yerushalayim. Ezra was Shachar Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. We have all his midrashim. He was who was like Moshe Rabbeinu. He in Torah, but he wasn't in politics. Nehemiah, I was commanded by the king of Persia to go and become the pecha, to become the governor, to become the prime minister of Yehuda. Asher tziva oisi hamelech, the king commanded me. This is what it says in Rashi. Okay, next. Pecha, pecha. What's a pecha? K'may pecha, k'may pacha. Pecham. So over here it says the word pecham. Pecham doesn't mean a coal, man, is that correct?
Pecham is also coal.
A coal. Yeah. A hot coal. So here, Rashi is saying that the word pecham is a mem at the end. The mem really should be interpreted as if there is a hey. And pecha, I said, okay, which means shaltoin. It means a ruler. A ruler, a dictator. Shaltoin is not a dictator, but he's a ruler. Dugmas, roikem. We have another similarity where we have the word roikem, which means embroidery. Kamoi raka. And which means, which is also read with a hey. So sometimes an end mem is interchanged with a hey. Mishnas Shem Lamelech Dar Yavish. Rashi is learning the Shitasai. Rashi learns that Artachshast is not Koresh. Artachshast is Dar Yavish. Lamelech Dar Yavish. Ki Oz Olo Vibavel Shnema Vibachodesh Nisan Mishnas Eshim. Because that's when he went back to being the Sefer. Is when did, it's been consistent throughout the entire Sefer, that when did Nehemiah go up to Eretz Yisrael? It was in the 20th, says Perek Beis, in the 20th year of Artachshast. That's when he told Daryavesh that I can no longer serve as your butler, the Sahamashkim. I am needed in Eretz Yisrael. I hear that the situation is not good. It's true they may have built a Beis HaMikdash, but they are in great danger because the walls of the city are porous. They're living in an unwalled city. They're subject. They are weak and they are susceptible to attack. Shneim Esrei, Shanim Shneim Esrei, Sheheim Shneim Esrei Shana. Rashi doesn't tell us what's the repetition. Why does it have to tell us? Well, repeat it in the 20th year to the 32nd year, which the pasuk ends up is 20, which is 12 years. Shanim Shneim Esrei, Sheheim Shneim Esrei Shana. Again, the significance according to some is that these were consecutive, consistent years. He did not leave. He was on duty. He never took vacation. Ani v'achai, Ani v'chaverai asher bohimi, my friends which came with me. Next part of Rashi, lechem apecha le'echalti, lechem shuroi l'machal apecha, sheha'am nois demoisoi el apecha. People were obligated to give the governor, bread, to give him things to support him. Min hamas, from taxes, I did not take for myself. Let's see the mitzudos. Gam yom, rotzulaymar. Gam hatoiva hazo. So here the Mitzudos is telling us something, not what I told you. I told you, I think maybe from the Malbim could be what I told you, that the word Gam is coming to connect, tells why he was successful. But the Mitzudos is obviously bothered. Everyone is bothered. Rashi doesn't give us a perish. But everyone is bothered with the word Gam. Gam literally means also. What is Nehemiah coming to say here also? Also what? Gam Rotzalaymar, Gam Hatoiva Hazosa Sisi in Yisrael. In addition to the good deeds that I've done, that I built the wall. See, until now, until Pasuk Gedalit, we learned about pretty much two of the good deeds of Nehemiah. Number one, he built the wall. Number two, he was able to put an end to the exploitation of his fellow Jews. That's the second good deed. He was able to convince the wealthy, the elite, to stop it, to relinquish their power to collect and to return the property that they foreclosed upon. That was the second good deed. Gam, a third good deed. Another good deed that I did. What was the third good deed that I did? I went easy on my brethren and did not tax them. I did not abuse my power. Gam, one more time, Ratzalema, Gam Atova Hazoso, Sisi, Yisrael, Kimi Ezesh, Tziva, Melech, Osi, Leos, Moshe, Lohem, Yeretz, Yehuda, Vihim, Shnasti, which was from the year the 20th year of our Tachshast, Kol Oysen Hashanim, Ani, Vachaveroi, Hanishmoim, Li, Lo, Ochalnu, Meachal, Hamuta, Lahachil, Esapecha. We did not eat from the food. That was the taxes that the people really had an obligation to give us, because it would have been too much for them, because there was a rav, there was a famine, the economy was not doing well, and therefore I did not abuse my power, I did not take advantage of the situation, and did not enforce what I had a right to. Next, okay, so that concludes Pasik Yud Gimel. Now you go to Pasik Tidal. Now we go to Pasik Tesvav. Tesvav Yatachos. Now he says something here which is very frightening. He takes note. Asher Lufonai. Nehemiah says, I'm a good guy, and my goodness can be measured relative to my predecessors. Now you should never do that. Chazal are very, very critical of Nehemiah for doing this. That, you know, there are two ways you can shine. You can shine in your own right, or you can shine. Look, how do you compare to? Well, look at me. Was there any better in Bush years? Was there any better in the years of Clinton? Was it better in the years of Reagan and Carter? So you want to
A legend in his own mind.
A what?
A legend in his own mind.
In its own mind. Relative to my predecessors. That's what he's doing here. Shalom Aleichem. Everything okay?
Thank God.
It was only one day.
2 days. Friday and yesterday. Friday had the bar mitzvah. We wish you a mazel tov on the bar mitzvah of your grandson.
You went to Montreal, right? You went to Montreal?
I just used up all my sick leave.
That's it.
It's like losing pay.
The kollel check. It's not going to get the kollel check. So he's coming to compare his success to the previous governors. So it's not a good idea. If you can't stand on your own, it's not a good idea to highlight your success by showing that relative to your predecessors, you were pretty good. That may be an approach for someone else, but it's not an approach for you. There are certain things that you can say, but someone else cannot say. And just vice versa, there are things that you cannot say, others can say. Other people can praise you, but you don't praise yourself. If you want a self-deprecating humor, you can say bad things about yourself in a mocking, joking way. But someone else can't do that. Every statement, some things are appropriate for yourself but not appropriate for others, and things are appropriate for others not appropriate for you. So this is an appropriate thing to take note of, that if for us to come along and say, you know, Nechemi was amazing compared to his predecessors. He was a tzaddik. Even if he was not successful in his own right, he did not create, he did not do anything new, he was not no innovations, but compared to the predecessors, pretty good. At least the economy didn't get worse. That's for us to say. But it's not for you to say. It's not for Nechemia to say. And that's what Limud Musa, at least one Limud Musa we can learn from this pasuk. Don't do that, and we'll see in a moment why. The previous governors, they laid a heavy hand upon the people. They took from them bread, the yayin, and wine. Achar kesef shkolim arboim. This was in addition to the tax. This is a well-known tax which we're not familiar with. After 40 shkolim, which was not known, there are different opinions. Either means 40 shkolim a week, or 40 shkolim a day, or 40 shkolim a month. We don't know exactly what this means, but there was a fine, there was a tax. Besides paying land tax, and besides paying tax, head tax, and paying the tolls, and paying water tax, and paying real estate tax, and paying who knows what, all the various taxes you could imagine, sales tax. There was another tax. You have to pay membership dues. You got to pay the shul. Who is the leader? Nechemia. You have to support the governor. How much support? Every single member must pay 40 shkolim. What does that mean? 40 shkolim a week, a month, a year? I don't know. Per person, family? We don't know, but 40 shkolim. And in addition to that, achar means besides. That was besides, every person had to deposit, when you go buy bread and you buy wine in the store, the basic necessities of life, it was a tax. What was the tax? Besides the sales tax of the government, there's also, if you're buying bread, for every loaf of bread that you buy, you have to buy a bulka for the king, for the pecha. For every, you're buying a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola, you have to buy a can of Coke for the pecha. In addition to what you pay, the $40, the 40 shkolim, you have to also provide bread and yayin for the pecha. Milvad, achar means milvad, kesef shkolim arboim gam, period, gam na'arehem, sholtu al'om. In addition, Nechemia says, I'm not so bad. Besides the fact that I went easy, I didn't demand you for you the 40 shkolim, I didn't demand the wine and the oil, my staff, they're very good. They're very kind and gentle. They don't harass the people. My Secret Service people, they don't come into your home and take away all your property. My predecessors had a staff. Now, Obama's coming to King David Hotel. How many rooms are they taking?
125.
I think I heard more.
More?
300 rooms. I don't know. I heard 300 rooms.
Really?
The whole Kosher Pesach. The whole of the Kosher Pesach. No chametz. Really, the Secret Service and Akin eat their rolls. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. Kosher Pesach is hard to believe. Okay, but But my staff.
It's a joke.
Not a joke. Obama's coming to Eretz Yisrael Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it's burnt chametz. Where else are you going to burn chametz if not Erev Pesach?
No, he goes in a separate part of the airport.
Okay, but the point is that the Nechemia is saying that my staff, I made sure they did not abuse their power, they did not abuse their position, and they did not make demands from the population. Whereas my predecessors, not only did the governor abuse his power and demand high taxes, his staff was brutal. The staff, when they came to a hotel, they took over the hotel. They served chametz, Erev Pesach. They made it very difficult for them. So, v'gam na'areihem sholtu asam, the servants of my predecessors, they ruled the people, v'ani lo yasisi kein. Why not? Nipnei yiras Elohim. Nechemia is saying that I have yiras shamayim. I have yiras shamayim for a politician to talk like this. It's one thing when you have a Rosh Hashiva. Ezra would say this. Okay, so Ezra is the Kohen HaGadol. He's not practicing Kohen Gadol, but he's the Kohen Gadol Me'achah. So you hear, but over here we have a politician, and the politician is saying, Nechemi represents the political factions, like the Prime Minister, not the Rabbanut. The Prime Minister is saying, I was good because I have Yiras Elohim. Now what is so critical, terrible, harsh about this pasuk? Who's he referring to? So there's a Gemara, and the Gemara says that he was referring to Daniel. Because who was the Pecha that came before? That came before Nehemiah? The previous, I don't know who was exactly the one right before, but he was referring to Daniel. Daniel ish chamudos. Is that how you talk about Daniel? You criticize Daniel. And Daniel laid a heavy hand upon the population and demanded 40 shkolim and demanded yayin v'lechem. And Daniel's staff, Daniel was also close to the government. He was very close to all the kings. He was close to Nebuchadnezzar and then Belshazzar. And then, well, Evel Merodach we don't know about. That's a very big mystery. What happened to Daniel during Evel Merodach? And then he was close to Koresh. And he was close to Daryavesh Hamadi before Koresh. Daryavesh Hamadi. So Daniel had a hand, and even Achashverosh, right? And some said they lived all the way till the time of Daryavesh. He lived all the way down. So Daniel was very involved in government from beginning to end. Hasach. He was all the way there. He had a claw. He was the Pecha of Yehuda. And he, Nehemiah here, Hafle Rafela, is coming to criticize his previous, not criticize, but coming to contrast himself to his predecessor, Daniel. Daniel laid a heavy hand, and his staff laid a heavy hand on the people, and I'm not like him. So Chazal say that's not a nice thing to do. It's not a nice thing to do with anyone. And it's certainly not a nice thing to do when it comes to the holy Daniel Ish Hamudos, and therefore as a punishment, the Sefer will not be called after your name. One of the reasons why, in truth, there's no Sefer Nehemiah, and the 24th Sefer Tanakh, there's only a Sefer Ezra. For some reason, we break it up. There's an art scroll Nehemiah. You know that? A separate volume, art scroll Nehemiah. But that's not really Nehemiah, it's really Ezra. In the Gemara, whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the Gemara, Rashi, every so often he quotes a pasuk, so he says it's Ksiv b'Sefer Ezra. And you take out Sefer Ezra, it's not there. And he's referring to Sefer, the Prakim are different. I don't know, the Prakim are very complicated because it's really one long Sefer. Ksiv, it says, and Sefer Ezra. No, Ezra, it's the Sefer Nehemiah. It's one long, continuous Sefer. Ezra and Nehemiah are grouped together. It's all called Sefer Ezra because Nehemiah's name was removed as a punishment for this pasuk.
But we have Nehemiah, right?
Today, I don't know why today it has changed. It's not fully changed because in the 24th Sefer Tanakh there is no Sefer Nehemiah. And the 24th Sefer Tanakh Nehemiah is included in Ezra. In the Gemara, in the Talmud, there's no reference called to a Sefer Nehemiah. And the Gemara, any time a Gemara quotes a pasuk in Nehemiah, it's all in the Mefarshim quoted, it's all referenced. The footnote will tell you it's in Sefer Ezra. Which Perek, you have to figure out how they range. The Prakim are different. They continue. I don't know for sure. I don't know the details. But Nehemiah really deserved his own Sefer. It was taken away as a punishment for criticizing Daniel. That's one opinion in them. We'll have another reason in a few moments.
Why did Daniel?
So obviously, the times demanded that he do so. If you go too easy on people, they'll step all over you. You have to show them who's the boss.
Or when it comes to the taxes, maybe
there's a need.
It required him to go and take.
Exactly, the wasn't so. Exactly, wasn't only his decision. There are many factors. Times change. We all know that in our own lifetimes. Every couple of years, it's different. Everything is different. The Hanhaga in the government is different. The Hanhaga in the Jewish world is different. In the yeshivas, the whole system of education, Jewish education. I once heard from Machanech. He says every 3 years, it's a whole different world. The whole approach, how do you deal with children? Are you tough with them? Are you emphasize discipline? Are you go easy on them? Then you go easy, they can become a chutzafim. And then you go hard on them, and then they rebel. The world is evolving. Everything always has to change and adapt to different situations, different things happening in the world, the different movements, the different koichos, whether it's spiritual influence, whether it's a secular influences, the world keeps on evolving. So Daniel, obviously, Daniel knew what he was doing. Daniel, that in his times, that's what the situation demanded. They go very heavy, hard on the people, and they collect big taxes. That's the way it was. Nehemiah, his time was different. Nehemiah criticized that, in his opinion, Daniel was a little bit too tough. Daniel would stand up and would say, I don't know what you're talking about. If you would have lived in my time, you would see that I wasn't, what I did was correct. There was a disagreement. What? It was a different situation. It was a different situation, and obviously each one had his cheshbonos, and each one was right. Elu the Elu, but Nehemiah, there is a tear. Again, this pasuk clearly is super magnifying, super, super duper magnifying a minor imperfection in Nehemiah. Nehemiah obviously had the greatest respect and reverence for Daniel. You can't say not. You can't say Daniel, Ish Hamudos. We have all the things that would happen to Daniel, the miracles that happened to Daniel, it's on to talk about. Yet there's a teeny, teeny little tinge which is so microscopic, it's impossible for us to relate to, but that is the derech of the Sifrei Tanakh, to super magnify minor, minor, teeny little imperfections, so we can learn from it. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata, on the high madrega of Nehemiah, which we cannot even begin to fathom, on his madrega, Hashem found a teeny little imperfection, super magnified it, so we today can be sitting here, Tav Shnayim Gimel, Hey Allah from Tav Shnayim Gimel, and learn a little mussar from Nehemiah, and learn the mussar that don't ever compare yourself to someone else. Don't try to shine by showing someone else's defects. That's a very simple, very basic limud ha-musar. And you have over here a story, Ishei HaTanach. Very simple, and that's why we have it. But we shouldn't chas shalom think that we should go take it so seriously, and that he's coming out on a tirade and going. Daniel didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how to govern. He didn't know the first thing about dealing with people. He needed to go take a course in dealing with social settings and leadership. What's that? I don't know what that is.
It's a leadership
manners.
Manners, okay. So this is the Limud HaMusar. Okay, let's go further. So this is what how he criticizes. Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi, a lot of things going on. Rashi passed Tezvav. He heavily taxed the people. He's referring to the previous governors, including Daniel. Which means in addition to the Messinas Arbom Shkolim Shal Kesef. Rashi clearly learns that the tax was a yearly, annual tax. 40 Shkolim. You think you pay high membership dues? They paid 40. How much is 40? I don't know. How much is 40 shkolim? Whatever it was, 40 shkolim was the annual fee you had to pay to support the local pecha. Gam nareim shalapachos also were very tough. Let's see over here the Rav Mitzudos Dov in the previous page. Shalapachos, shalapachos, we showed them v'heim echbidu oil alam. What?
Every citizen.
Every citizen had to pay 40 shkolim, and plus had to also provide bread and yayin. Ha'pachas and the mitzvah, the stuff in the previous pay, tezavav, avla pachas, ha'we shonis, heimich bidu, ha'ol ha'lam, they put a heavy yoke on the people, ve'ichu mehem, lachu mehem, kesef, avor, tzorich. Also, he learns that it's a little bit different. They took kesef, achar means ba'avor. Bavur tzorich lechem v'yayin de sipukam milvar arboim. They took it. I'm sorry. Yichum mehem. The pasuk here says yichum mehem belechem uv'yayin. So the way the Mitzudos learns is that it doesn't just mean they took bread. I thought it meant they took actual bread that the people had to bring over to the pecha. Bread. Bring a box of matzah. Right. You bring over a box of shmur matzah to the pecha. And you bring over a bottle of wine. No, you bring cash. I don't trust your cashless. I don't hold from your yayin, I don't hold fikash, just give me money and I will go to the store and buy my own bread and my own wine. Yeah?
They gave goods, it could all come in.
Money, so they spent as you need it, so it wouldn't spoil. It wouldn't be an echnami. So vayichul behem belechem v'yayin means they gave them money, tax money, to purchase lechem and yayin. Achar, besides a large fee, a tax of 40 shkolim, which was used for the pechas, his discretion for whatever he wanted to use that money for. Milvat, so for lechem behem kasev bavur, they gave money. Bavur tzerech lechem v'yayin, they see pukum their needs. Milvat, our boim shikle kasev b'chol shana. Okay, no reim. They're very tough. The original, they also were very difficult servants of the pechah. Let's go for the next pasuk. Tezayin. So the Nechemi is also praising himself. He's going on over here to praise himself. I also was not like the other governors that didn't get involved in the labor. I came out of my castle and I put on work clothing, I put on gloves and boots, and I myself participated in building the wall of Yerushalayim. I got dirty in the construction. And not like my predecessors. They were just politicians. They came for the ribbon cutting ceremony. They only came in nice fancy clothing in their robes and suits. I was one of the people, right? I'm one of the people. I wear, the president has to wear, goes on tour, he has to wear jeans, they have to wear a t-shirt, and they have to wear all different types of clothing to show that you're one of the people, you're like the common man. That's exactly what Nechemiah is saying. V'gam b'mlechas achim ha'azoy sechzakti, I also took hold v'soda lo koninu, we did not purchase land. We did not take advantage of the situation, the poverty. We could have easily bought up real estate all over Eretz Yisrael. We did not purchase fields. V'chol narai kivutzim shama malach, and all of my servants were instructed to participate, to get their hands dirty, to work on the construction site. Pasuk Yitzayin, v'hayehudim, v'hasigonim, ne'e v'chamish shemish. Now he tells us something else. Now he also had to fulfill the role of the governor. The governor is required to entertain and to host visitors, dignitaries. So every single day, 150 people would visit Gracie Mansion. They would visit the White House.
For some reason, if I remember, look at, they used the term Orin Sganim.
Very interesting.
Previous Pesukim used Orin Sganim.
Okay, so these are the Hayehudim Yaskim. So could be these are. Okay, I hear what you're saying. These could be different people. Because here these are visitors. These are visitors that are not necessarily Choyrin, called B'nai Choyrin, the free people. So why here HaYehudim? I don't know the answer. It's a very good point. Why here, when we put the word next to Saganim, we always have the word Choyrin, and here we're changing with Yehudim. It's a very good point. I don't know. Okay, let's see. So he entertained guests every day. 150 people ate by his table. HaYehudim HaSaganim, 150 people. Every day they came to my table, I supported them. And it seems that these people were leaders, and they were part of the government. The haboim eleinu min hagoyim asher sevivoseinu. Further, they were visitors. They were foreign diplomats, dignitaries that came from other countries to visit Yehud to see what's going on. Sevivoseinu, they asher sevivoseinu, that from the good that surrounded Eretz Yisrael, al shulchani, they sat by my table, and who supported them? I supported them. I did not demand people to pay for the food and drink and needs of these 150 people, plus these visitors from foreign nations. I paid for their needs out of my own pocket. And that begs the question, where in the world did he get money for this? So either he was independently wealthy, okay, that's possible. I don't know how. We don't know how he was independently wealthy. That's why he said before in the previous meeting of the parak. That's why he also lent, and there was a famine. He lent all the poor people money, and they signed the contract that if they don't pay the money, he'll take away their property. He was one of the big lenders, and I'm moichel all the chayvos, and all the property that I've taken, I'm gonna give back. So he, it seems, was a very wealthy person, or he had fans. He had people, followers, Hasidim.
The Shulchan is the Tish.
that gave him whatever he needed in order that privately that he should not have to tax the tzibur. He had chassidim. So this is what he says. Let's go over here. The Rashi needs to second pasuk has sign and pasuk yud zayin to zayin hachoyma choyma suir. I myself participated in the actual construction of the wall of the city. The sadaloi koninu, but the sadashal yehudim shayibaynim hachoyma loy koninu ani ubni ubnei siyasi al esek doichkam. I did not take advantage of their difficult situation and buy up their property because they're willing to sell it dirt cheap in order to have some money to buy food for their family. That these people that were involved in the construction, I did not take advantage of them and buy their property. I gave them my own money. I gave them funds to continue with the construction because these people had to take off from work. The people that were involved in construction, they were meiser nefesh to build the wall. They had to leave their jobs. By leaving their jobs, leaving their fields, they had no parnasa. How are they going to support their family? So the simple solution was they should sell some of their assets. They would sell some of their fields, and that way they would have enough money to survive for a couple of months. And with that money, they will be able free to work on the construction. So Nechemiah says, "No, I did not allow that. I did not allow them to sell their assets so they could have money to support their family, so they could have free time to build the wall. Instead, I let them keep their property, and I gave them the money they needed from their off time in order that they can continue building the wall. Alhamdulillah, Halivas, the Livnos Tadish should be built continuously. And in Pasuk Yitzayin, there were 150 men. Mevachamishamish, Hoyu Oichlem al Shulchanai Levad, besides Hagerim, Haboyim Eleinu Min Ha'akum, the visitors. Gerim does not over here mean converts. It means the visitors that came to us from the nations. Sha'afim Hoyu Oichlem al Shulchanai, they also came, or maybe it means the Gerim. Levad Hagerim Shaboyim Eleinu. Maybe Takarashi would say that he had any support when he had a koilul in his house. 150 people. What?
And Rashi said that they were
Gerim. Okay, so that doesn't mean other Farshim. I know. I remember seeing Rav Schwab. I saw definitely somewhere else. Other Farshim learned that again, the people does not mean converts. It means people that he was a pecha, and a pecha has an obligation to host foreign diplomats. So that's what it means. But that's not how Rashi appears. The Rashi seems to learn that there were 150 people. Simli learns there were 150 people that were part of the government, part of his staff, and they lived in his home, and he had to support them. Normally they would be supported by the tzibur. He did not want to impose upon the tzibur, so he himself provided for their needs. And then there were foreign diplomats. That's one approach. Rashi seems to be learning that, no, the staff, he didn't have a big staff. That was taken care of. That's a separate issue. He just had poor people. Nehemiah was a very hospitable person. He had in his house people who always just had no parnasa. So 150 people sat in his house and he took care, he provided their meals, and then they would gear. So who's going to go take care of a gear? A gear from time to time, there were no organizations to host and take care of these people. So Nehemiah, he privately supported the gear and the people that came from other places. Okay, let's go over here to the mezuzah. We'll stop the mezuzah, pasik yud tezayin and yud zayin. The gam, atoiva hazoisa sisi. So pasik tezayin also mentions the gam. Again, we have the word the gam. Another good deed that I have done. So now he's going with good deed number four. What are the four good deeds? I built the wall. Number two, I put an end to exploitation. Number three, I lowered the taxes. Number four, I supported the people, the poor people. The gam af hatavazosa sisi ki ochasti b'molochas hachoyma. I actually did labor myself. Rotz lemar mezare soyisi esaboynim lebal yirpu yidem and amolocha. I made sure they did not get lazy. I encouraged them constantly. The sawday wrote some of the im ki bavur hasmolas amolocha loyasku b'molochas lahamsi latzam desi pukom. And being that they were working so hard, they did not have an opportunity to support their own families. So what did I do? Im kolzeh. and therefore, because they were desperate, they did not have parnasa during this period of time. They were desperate to support their families. They were willing to sell their land at a very cheap price. Im kol zeh, I did not take advantage. To support them for change for the price of the field. I told them, keep your property and don't worry, you're not working. I will take care of your needs during the time when you're busy building the wall. My workers, my na'orai, my staff also participated in the construction. There was 150 people that participated, that sat by my table. The haboim gam hagerim, they were converts. Bahu liskaya kol eila hayu oichlim al shulchanai. I provided for all of their needs. Okay, some of the pasuk yudches. Okay, we'll have to stop here. It's late. Okay, we'll stop here. Yudches.